Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll read one verse. You'll be seated. We have a special tonight. And then as soon as the special's done, I'll introduce Brother Dorsey quickly. Keep your fingers and your Bibles open. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's read Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13 in unison together. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13. I still hear pages. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Are you ready? Here we go. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the messenger you've given us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you just fill him with your power. Lord, may we yield to the preaching tonight. May we yield to the truth tonight. Teach us what we need to know so we can be better for thee, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. It is my honor tonight to introduce to you Brother Michael Dorsey. And hang on to your applause, all right? Don't make it so loud. You don't do it that loud for me. Brother Dorsey has been a huge blessing in my life as a pastor. I told you before he came here, he's going to make some mistakes. Say why? He's not a finished product, by the way. You've made some since he came here too. So don't get too upset. You say, preacher, you, Brother Josh, when he comes, is he going to make mistakes? Yep. We don't hire finished products. You say, why? Because none of us are. I'll tell you what, you'll go long and hard to find a young man that'll work as hard and learn as much as he does, as quickly as he does. I haven't had to say things twice to him, I don't think, all summer. Other than, never mind. that wasn't his pastor. as a pastor, let me say, I'm glad this is the kind of young man we have in our church. He's a great example to our young people. I've had many people say, well, preacher, how about we hire Brother Dorsey, let him finish his college online? Would you want a surgeon operating on you that got his degree online? When you start something, you finish it. Now, believe me, he'd like to stay here and just finish online. All right? Yeah, I know. Except he couldn't put up with my demerits. Oh, but let me say this. Here's a fine young man. He loves the Lord. He's serious about it. He's grown our youth department, let me tell you. He's done a super job. He's kept them busy. They have fun in Sunday school, but they're learning. He's preaching the fool out of them in Sunday school, let me tell you. And he's growing with it. You think it's easy. How about you at 21, 22 years old get up and preach here? How about you at 15 years old get up and sing here? Find out what kind of gut you got. Come on up. It's not as easy as you think it is. And for a preacher to hand over the pulpit, young man his age, I know what he's going through right now. Trust me. I know how he feels. And by the way, he can handle it. Trust me. He's tough enough. If he can put up with my daughter, he can put up with anything. Are you serious? You had to be there to really appreciate that one. But I am very proud of Brother Dorsey. It's my honor to have him preach to you tonight. Brother Dorsey, come preach to us. Yeah.
As you know, last week I was gone. I texted a preacher, and we were sitting in Sunday school, and something didn't seem right. And I texted him, and I said, I miss my church.
Man.
Looked around, there's no teenagers. I said, I miss my teenagers. Man. When I found out Kirsten was singing, she doesn't know this, but that was one of my favorite songs.
Man.
And you know, the Bible says, and it says, I counted it as well that my children walked in the Lord. And, you know, I just think that, you know, it's my teenagers. You know, as Kirsten comes up, sings, you know, it's my teenagers.
Man.
Look over here, you know, just see all my teenagers. You know, Nadia, you're going to be the next one to sing up here. But but as I look around in Sunday school, we have a lot of fun in Sunday school, don't we, Elizabeth? But we sit here and we just make fun of each other, laugh at each other, and just have a good old time. But as I was talking to the preacher this morning, and as I said, you know, I was talking, it's just one of these things that this is just my church, this is my home. You know, I told him last week, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to have to do whenever I have to go back to college. You know, I have to leave my teenagers in my church. You know, granted, I'll have those teenagers up there or over there, but it's just not home. Yeah. I want to talk to a message. I thought about rewriting a message and saying, are you serious? But I thought my my fiance wouldn't like that too much.
But
But no, I'm serious. If you
just
let me walk out. I'm gonna get that one tonight, but we're going to ice cream later, she'll get over it. But in all reality, if you look in Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13, you look at it again, it says, let us hear the conclusion, the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I want to talk on the subject of being settled or satisfied. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you just had to go out and buy it, and all you could think of was getting that one possession, whether you were being satisfied that you had received that dream possession? There are several great possessions among this world. There are also several bad possessions of the world. Within the Christian world, there are two types of people. There's a person that is a settled person that is satisfied, and a satisfied person is content in what they have and do not want to go any farther in their Christian life. But a settled person is one who determines within themselves that they are settled to be completely sold out for God. And no matter what goes their way, they won't quit. They won't become satisfied. Like I said, satisfied. Those who are comfortable in their walk with God. Those who are content about their Sunday school class. Those who have lost their burden in their vision about Sunday school, soul winning, bus route, and growth as a Christian. But a settled person are those who are wanting to grow, wanting to see God work more, are on fire for God, and have sold out to God to be fully used. We see our devotion to God. I said this is our first step in seeing whether we are settled or satisfied. I want you all to think about throughout the message whether you are a settled or a satisfied Christian. This is where everyone starts out. Those who have gotten saved, those who have gotten baptized, this is where we all start out as. We figure out what our devotion is and whether we are who we say we are. This is our service within the church. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain, a preacher, or wherever we are in the service, whether it's cleaning the church or even the nursery, this is our service for the Lord. But you may be on fire for God about teaching and serving God, but when trials and temptations come, how is your devotion? You think of life, you know, we have several different instances, you know, trials, temptations, trying to figure out I was talking to a preacher and about when to ask Mindy to we propose, and he's like, okay, well, we'll talk to my wife. So I just got over the first part, and I sat there. We were at Serpent one night, and I was eating. Got halfway, I said, I can't do this anymore, you know. So I talked to Mrs. Bush, and so then she's like, why are you asking me? I said, because he told me to. And that's all I could think about saying. But I was like, but you think of that. To me, that was a trial because I had to get one step closer. But it's one of those things that I came through. You know, it's one of the we have different trials and temptations come around. But it's depending on how are you going to deal with it. Whether it be a family member going through a hard time, whatever it is, you know, you just got to sit here. Hey, what am I going to do? Am I going to prove that whether my trial or temptation is going to improve me or is it going to destroy me? I said, do you run to God or do you run away from God in your trials? Romans 14:22-32 talks about the storm with the disciples. My dad preached a message last Sunday morning. He said, about where can we find God? You think you can find God anywhere, but he says, in a trial or a storm, we need God most.
That's right.
whether it is, you know, we have going through different signs, like preacher said, you know, going to school. That is a trial for me. That is a storm for me. I hate school.
Hurricane.
Yeah. But to me, you know, we must find the good, and then we must find God in there. But we can't, because God says, hey, I'm in the midst of the storm. The disciples found God in the storm. We can too in our storm. We must be willing to find God in our storm. When it says, where are you at in your walk with God? Are you devoted? Are in the storms of life gotten you and feel like you cannot, God has forsaken you? Has our storms come too much? If you turn to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. We'll read one verse. This is Hebrews 13, verse 5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee.
Hey.
We have these things come around in our lives. We say we have trials and temptations come. We say, you know what, God, I feel like I can't do this no more. You know, trials come, temptations come. You know, I can't do this no more. But it says here, God says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He says, are you settled or are you satisfied with your devotion? You go through life, you're saying, hey, God, you know, I can't do this. But he says, but are you settled or are you satisfied? You have to determine in your heart, saying, hey, you know, I'm going to be a settled Christian. I'm going to do this. I make sure I go so I do this for my bus, or I'm going to do this for my Sunday school class. But I'm going to be settled on doing more, because God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Number two says, you have to utilize the gifts God has given you. Use your talents for the Lord. Whether it be playing the piano, taking up the offering, playing special music, cleaning the church, use it for God's glory.
Hey.
It says, not all of us have the talents to sing and play music. We can't all play the piano like Brother Randy. We can't all not sing like Kirsten sang this tonight. But it says, we not all can do this, but we all can be faithful.
That's right.
My dad's preached this several times. He says, you may not be able to do much, but you can always be faithful.
That's right.
That stuck with me. Almost 22 years, and he's preached that almost once a service. He always says, we can always be faithful. That one thing stuck out to me most is what I could talk to you most about what I've learned in Christian life, whether learned in a preacher's home or a preacher's in the ministry, is Dad always says, you can always be faithful. I was 9 years old, and I'm a big baseball fan, as you can tell. But We had this saying, Dad always said this saying, and I hated it. He always says, I was playing, I could not hit the ball. I was working on my stance and everything. I just could not get that home run that I've tried to do. And I said, Dad, I can't do this. He said, son, can't's not in my dictionary. And I said, well, it's not in yours, but it is in mine. I told him, God, and I said, Dad, I can't do this. There's several things. I was talking to Mindy last week. And you might want to trip yours for this one. But she was like, she said, you know, I said, Minnie, you know, I can't do this. She said, you can. I said, no, I can't. She said, well, Moses didn't think he can lead the people out of Egypt, but he did. He said, she was like, well, David defeated Goliath, and he did. I was like, shut up, you're right. I hate when she's right, but it's one of those things of saying, hey, even though David had no chance to defeat Goliath, you know, God enabled him to, and she told me, he says, you might not think you can, but God has enabled you to.
That's right.
No matter what you're going through right now, God's enabled you to do it. You just have to stand up and do it.
That's right.
How is your faith today? Put your faith on trial and ask yourself, would you be found guilty of lack of faith or innocent of great faith? Pastor Fugia once said this. He said, you can have the faith that you once had. Now, I've thought about that recent times, saying, you know, we go through trials, you know, going through, you know, people get on trial and say, hey, you're guilty for this murder, you're guilty for this, and you're innocent for this, and it says you're innocent until proven guilty. I want y'all to think, is your faith, are you going to be innocent of your faith, or are you going to be guilty because you don't have that faith? I talked about in Sunday school this morning about taking the leap of faith, you know, talking about a mustard seed. You know, the mustard seed is just about that small. And he said, the Bible says we must have a faith like a mustard seed. We don't have to have great faith, but he just says just faith like a mustard seed. Just that small, and we can do it, but we must have the faith. As newborn believers, we all remember that excitement that we first had once we got saved. Remember how you were on your way to hell now, and now heaven. We need to make sure we get that excitement again.
Amen.
we see those things that, hey, you know, I was lost and dying and going to hell, but now, you know, praise God, you know, I'm going to heaven. And we must get that excitement saying, hey, you know, we were here, we were on this pathway going down to hell, now we turn around and we're going on our way to heaven. We must see that, hey, I can get to heaven, I can do this. We must get that faith and realization that, hey, I need to get that excitement that even though I was lost, now I can see someone saved and I got saved, I can go tell the other people about Jesus.
Amen.
As if you know me, you know, I'm a, I love football, you know. I love Georgia football, and it's very depressing when you make it all the way to the championship and you end up losing. But you get excited about making it all the way there. You know, my youngest sister, she's starting to play sports. She's gotten to the point where she's all excited about that. And when we get that, or are you serious about our engagement? When we get excited about it, and we see, hey, even though me and me take that next, we're excited about it. We have things that we can get excited about. But you need not to get more excited about going. You must get more excited about getting to heaven than a sports game or some event that's just taking place. You must get more excited about coming to church than you are on your way to get excited coming to church than you are on the heaven. You must have excitement about coming to church, coming to heaven. And he says, heaven is what excites you. Heaven must excite you.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
There's a teacher at the college and said, Dr. Jorson, you ever take his Bible doctrine class and he talked about the doctrine of heaven? If you hear him, I just want to get saved again in that class so I can go to heaven the way he puts it. I'm ready to get saved again. But as we see him, he's about 7 years old, 71, 72. You know, you're talking about him, how excited he is about heaven. He's been saved for a while. And you talked about the excitement that he has. It just makes me want to get more excited about it. I'm excited about going to heaven. I should have that more excitement. There's a hymn that says, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, my sin not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We see here in that verse, it says, my sin not in part, but it's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. We see that it must be excitement because we don't bear our sin no more. It's nailed to the cross. You know, you see here, if we're not excited about Jesus Christ coming on the earth, dying for your sin, my sin. I told this to teenagers, we were talking about love. He said, if Jesus didn't die on the cross and we didn't love him like we should, then he's just another man. If we don't love Jesus like we ought to, then what did he come here to die on the cross for us? Why did he come? If he loved us never, why should we love him more? We should love him more because of what he's done for us. We must see time. Time spent in the work of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Time is the most precious thing on this earth.
Right.
We have these things. If I wanted to show Mindy that I loved her, it would be spending time with her. If I told her I loved her, but I never showed her, I never spent time with her, she would doubt the love that I have for her.
That's right.
Yeah. Same thing goes for you.
Yes.
If you didn't, just think about it. If you think, okay, you say to me, you know, I love God, but you never read your Bible, you never prayed, do you really love God? Does God want to say, does he really love me? Does she really love me? What am I going to do? This is time that is spent. We need to spend time daily in his word and in prayer. We must be yielding to the Spirit. Turn over to Romans 6. We see in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 13. Romans 6:13, the Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as in instruments of righteousness unto God. We all should be yielded to the Spirit. Preacher says this all the time, yielded to the Spirit.
Yes.
We must be yielded to the Spirit. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit in our lives. We try to do this, we try to do anything else in our lives. We can't do it without God. I've tried several times to do something on my own, and it has come to the realization, you know, I can't do it unless I ask God. But once I ask God for it, it happens to end up getting done. I try to do things on my own. But then when I realize, hey, I need God, I ask God, and He helps me through it. We must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. You will make decisions that people do not fully agree with you. But if it's what God wants you to do, then do it. Do not hold back on what God wants you to do. If God wants you to do something, then do it. Many people think they're so concerned about what people think about them, if they would just simply get a hold of God and not worry what people think, just what God thinks, your heart would change. Get a hold of God and let God do the talking, you just be quiet. We must realize that, hey, God is what I need to listen to. God is who I need to follow through, not what my friend thinks, not what my neighbor or whoever it is, you know, not what they think, but what God thinks. It is our duty to go soul winning, to teach Sunday school, preach the gospel, stand up for the KJV Bible, and what is right, not because we have to, but because God commands it. It's the whole duty of man. We must do exactly what the Bible commands. We can't do this anything on our own, but it's because through the Bible, through what we can and do through God, that's what's going to get us there. That's what's going to help us and encourage us. So don't tell me that you've lost your heart. Horror ministry and the loss of birth for soul, and it's not a loss of anything. It's just a backslidden, good for nothing Christian who has been satisfied on where they're at. Preacher talked about this morning. It's the obedience, not the result. So don't you dare tell me that soul winning doesn't work. Brother Barnes and I were out soul winning last night. We were able to see a lady got saved last night. Yes, yeah. Yesterday. Brother Barnes, me and Brother Barnes were talking, and he ended up leading to the Lord. It's not because me and Brother Barnes are good soul winners. It's nothing that we're that spiritual or anything, but it's because we obeyed. The Bible says,
right.
It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. What do? We went soul winning because it's our obedience. It's just what God wants us. Even through our obedience of God, God showed us results, and we were able to see somebody saved.
Yes.
I've led people to the Lord. I'm going to tell you a situation. This morning I was at, she's down here, just getting some coffee and had my suit on and everything, and the lady stopped me. She said, you going to church? I said, yes, ma'am. And she was like, you mind if I ask you a question? I said, no, ma'am, go ahead. She told me, she said, I want you to pray for me also. I'm having some tests run, and I'm going back Wednesday for the results. And I said, and she asked me, she said, can you pray for me? I'm hoping it's not cancer, but can you pray for me? I said, yes, ma'am, I can. I started witnessing to her. Found out she's already saved, and she's been trying to come to church. And I gave her a track, and she's like, I know you're a preacher. He comes in here once in every while. But it's because, how does she know our preacher? Because he's listening to the word of God. He's saying, because he says, go. And he obeys what the Lord says. There was one time I was in college, and it was last summer. I was doing some applied soul winning, and I was with one of the staff members of the churches. And we were in his area, and there's a guy asleep on the porch. And he sent me, he said, Brother Mike, go witness that guy. I said, no, I'm not. He's asleep. I'm not waking him up. But what I came to find out was when I went up to the door and went up to try and wake him up, he had a six-pack of beer and four cans of empty beer just sitting there. I said, I'm definitely not waking this guy up. But I told my partner, I said, you wake him up. I'm not doing it. And so he goes over here and says, hey, sir, kind of wakes him up. He's still dazed or whatever. He's trying to figure out where we're at and who's in his front porch talking to him. My buddy asked him, he said, do you go to church? He said, no, I don't. And he went along and he asked, if you die today, would you go to heaven? He said, no, sir, I wouldn't. He happened to forget his New Testament. I pulled mine out and started witnessing to him. And he ended up getting saved. But it's not because I woke him up from his sleep. It's not because my buddy left his New Testament. But it's because we obeyed what God said. Because the Bible says we must go. It's not the obedience. It's not because we're great soul winners. It's not because who we are. Because we obeyed what the Bible says. We don't need revival means. We need revived hearts.
Yes, sir.
Preacher always says, if you think of the word revive, what does the word revived mean? It means taking something that was dead and bringing it back to life. We need people that have become satisfied to where they're at in their Christian life, saying, hey, I don't want to be satisfied. I want to make sure I'm doing something great for God. I want to be on fire for God. So I'm going to put myself on. I'm going to figure out what's going on in me and get revived in my own heart. We must have revived hearts, not revival meetings.
Yes, sir.
We need men and women who will get a hold of God and allow God to use them. Ask God for a burden of fire to place upon your heart and life. We must allow God to use each and every one of us. As I think through my teenagers, think of Kirsten. You know, she got up here to sing. And one of those things, you know, it's really difficult to get up here and even preach and or even sing. I have to understand, you know, I don't sing, but I can imagine it's about, yeah, amen. But it's about, I guess, the same thing for the preach, you know. But you think of it, you know, she just wanted to be used by God. You know, several of us, I imagine, several of us just want to be used by God.
Yes.
It may not be behind the pulpit singing, playing the piano, preaching, doing whatever, but we can serve God on the bus route.
Sure.
We can serve God in Sunday school class.
Right.
We can serve God no matter cleaning the church.
Yes, sir.
Doing the nursery.
Right.
Helping preach out whatever he can. We can serve God.
Sure.
We don't have to become settled or satisfied. We must become settled.
Amen.
Problems in this world are complicated and lives are messed up. But it started to mess up when they took God out of the public schools. Because why? Because there's no God.
Right.
People lost and dying going to hell. Why? Because there's no God. It is our duty to teach them about God. Romans 10:14 says, it's here. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Right here it says, hey, there's someone lost and dying and going to hell, but they won't hear, they won't know unless you go. They won't know because how will they hear without a preacher? Now you don't have to get up and preach behind the pulpit like preacher does. You don't have to get up and wear fancy clothes. You can just go.
Right.
Just go soul winning.
That's right.
You know, we can go get your cup of coffee at the gas station. There you go. You think of it, you don't have to do much. But like I said, you can always be faithful. You don't have to do everything you can in your power to do this. But just saying, you know, get that I can't attitude out of it and just say, hey, you know, I can. It says if you feel like you can't, God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Just God, what God brings you to, you know, he's going to enable you to do it.
That's right.
Like you said, how will they hear without a preacher? You think about that. Who do you know that you haven't witnessed to? Who do you know that's saying, hey, I know they're lost. Hey, I know they don't go to church. But how do you know? Because they're without a preacher. In Sunday school, I picked on Adriana a lot just since she works. And I said, hey, how do you know if someone at one year workforce, you know, that person will be lost and say, but if you live the right kind of way, you can be them. You can help them lead them, Lord.
Right.
It's in our workforce. It's in where our day-to-day lives. It's whoever we come in contact with, you're their preacher. You work in that right attitude, in that right spirit. You can be able to be that witness unto them, like the Bible says. We must become settled to do more than you think or do. Because Moses didn't think he could lead the people out of Egypt, but God enabled him to. And he did. David didn't think he could fight Goliath. As a teenage boy, he didn't think. Christopher, he didn't. As a boy about a little older than you, he didn't think he could fight. He could defeat a giant, but God enabled him to.
Amen.
You might not think you can do something for God, but God's going to enable you to do it. You might not think that I can do something great for God. You know, I didn't think I should preach tonight. I've been with preaching, you know, preachers just like, hey, just calm down and just go slow and just think about it. And I've been this whole day, you know, I've just been thinking and just praying. I said, God, just allow me to calm my nerves and just use me. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We must say, hey, I can't do this. But God's saying, yes, you can, because I've enabled you to. You might not think you can go soul. You might not think, hey, I can tell my best friend about God. You may not think so, but God's enabled you to do it. You just have to go. Like the Bible says in Matthew 28:19-20, says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father. So you think about that, it says go. That word, first word, go. I'm not very good in English, but I know that's an understood use sentence. It says that that first word is go. It's an action verb. You must go because it's an action. But we can do this. It says, let us go to God and let God work. We must fill the whole duty of man and continue to spread the gospel. We can't do this on our own. But with God's help and everything that we can do for God, God can allow us to do it for His help, for His work. If He had bowed every eyes closed. I want y'all to think about the rest of it. Just think about yourself, whether you are a settled or a satisfied Christian. As preacher comes just in a little bit, I want y'all to be thinking, are you settled or satisfied?
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. First of all, is your eternity satisfied or is it settled? Have you settled the fact that you know for sure you're going to heaven, or you just think you are? Say, preacher, if I die tonight, I know 100% sure I've trusted Jesus as my Savior and that alone to take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put them down. Is there one that would say, preacher, and I won't call you out, I won't come to you, I won't embarrass you? But you say, preacher, if I die tonight, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, been satisfied, been coasting, been stagnant in my Christian life, but I realize it's time to settle. Not be satisfied, but it's time to get in action. Say, preacher, that was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When it begins to play, many of you ought to come to this altar tonight and get on your face before God and not be satisfied as the Christian that you are. I don't know about you. I've been challenged. This Wednesday, it'll be 39 years ago I surrendered to preach. This Thursday, it'll be 39 years ago I preached my first sermon. I'm not satisfied. I've got a long way to go, hopefully. I don't want to live satisfied, but I do want to be settled. How about you?